Welcome to the Thyroid Fixer podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy, and we're diving deep into the world of hormones, especially for all you fierce women in perimenopause and menopause, and everyone struggling with hypothyroidism. So if you are battling weight gain, you're feeling like shedding those pounds is an impossible feat. If you're dealing with plummeting energy levels, gut-wrenching fatigue, or a libido that seems to have left town, then you're in the right place. And let's not even start on the hair loss. If these symptoms are sounding all too familiar, you have found your tribe. My goal is to educate, empower, and shake up your world. Remember, I want you to embrace every inch of that badass woman that you truly are. So if you're ready to dive in and fix things, let's go. You've probably heard about collagen. I talk about it all the time. Love collagen. It's the protein that keeps your skin young and smooth. But did you know that your skin needs minerals to use that collagen properly? So your skin cells rely on close to a dozen minerals every day. Selenium, zinc reverses sun damage, copper helps your skin cells absorb collagen protein to become smoother and more elastic. Go copper. Silicon increases collagen uptake too. So if you want your skin to look smooth and hydrated, you have to make sure that you're getting enough minerals. And right now, the problem is 97% of Americans have at least one mineral deficiency, and then 70% have two or more. That's just crazy. So this is why I love Beam Minerals. Their liquid mineral supplements give you every single essential mineral your body uses in the right ratios. Beam makes minerals simple. You take a shot of liquid every morning. All your mineral needs are covered without a cabinet full of pills and powders. So if you want to support your skin and make sure your collagen supplements are actually working for your skin, then give Beam Minerals a try. Head to Beam Minerals, BEAMMINERALS.com, and use the code Dr. Amy for 20% off your first order. There is nothing like this on the market. So if you want to get your hands on something very unique, then it's going to be Collagen Fixer 2.0. Here's what I did. Reblended it completely. Took three trademark bioactive collagen peptides and put them together. One of them, Verisol. This is clinically proven to reduce your wrinkles and to reduce the appearance of cellulite and to improve your hair strength. So it helps your hair grow too. Number two, body balance. This bioactive peptide has been shown to increase lean body mass and decrease fat mass. So now we're getting the reduction of cellulite. We're getting improved body composition. Oh, wait, there's one more. Fortigel. Fortigel supports cartilage tissue growth, helping those joints. So anyone with joint pain, if this is holding you back from working out, add this in. So now you get improved joints, improved mobility, improved body composition, better lean muscle, less fat, less cellulite, better hair, better skin, better nails, and some protein too. Why aren't you adding this in? There is nothing at all like it on the market. I'm pretty proud. Pretty proud of this bad boy. Collagen Fixer 2.0. I wanted to do another deep dive into progesterone because I don't think hormones can ever get enough love. And there's so many questions around what to use, when to use it, the safety of how to get it. Is it over the counter? Is it prescription based? What's in it for me? And then we have the slew of things that your doctor tells you about hormones that we have to debunk, unpack, and set aside so that you can work with facts and the truth to make your own educated decision of what you should do with your body and put in your body or on your body, including hormones. First of all, we have to start with progesterone is the calming hormone. It's the best friend that comes in and puts her arm around you and goes, you know, everything will be okay. You don't have to get upset. Let's zen out a little bit, have a glass of wine, talk it out, and then get a really good night's sleep. That's what progesterone does. So it balances everything out. And the other beauty of progesterone is that it stops growth. It is anti-proliferative. So any little cancer cells in our body, whether they're in our breast tissue or elsewhere, progesterone helps to keep them from growing, to basically stop their reproduction into more cancer cells. But let's go through all the wonders of progesterone and really when you should start noticing that your progesterone levels decline. Now, if you're in your 20s and you've been put on birth control which is synthetic hormones, ladies, and birth control. That can be a whole other podcast of how it absolutely tanks your thyroid and does horrendous things in your body. But if you're in your 20s and you were diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, one of the key components of PCOS is low progesterone, which creates an estrogen dominant state. So just side note with estrogen dominance, I know a lot of you women hang on to that. You're like, I'm estrogen dominant. Are you? Or are you just progesterone deficient? Is it that you are not metabolizing your estrogens properly? Are you pushing them down the wrong pathways, the 4-OH or the 16-OH pathway? Or do you have adequate levels, beautiful levels of estradiol? You're methylating fine, but you have really low progesterone because progesterone is the first hormone to go. It can go in your 20s, it can go in your 30s. And we see a lot of women with low progesterone having issues with fertility because it is the fertile hormone, progestation. So we need progesterone to successfully implant the egg to support a pregnancy. And then we also need it to carry that baby throughout pregnancy. So we can see progesterone tank in women's 20s and 30s. Definitely by 35, we see lower levels of progesterone across the board in all women. And this really is where progesterone hormone replacement, bioidentical progesterone hormone replacement, should start to occur if a woman is cognizant enough to be working with someone who knows what they're doing and to get tested at that particular time. Now, the symptoms of low progesterone, well, they can be the similar symptoms of estrogen dominance, because like I said earlier, we want progesterone to be adequately paired with estradiol. So if you are truly estrogen dominant in that you have low progesterone, you will still have those estrogen dominant symptoms. So estrogen dominant symptoms, weight gain, water retention, moodiness, heavy cycles, brain fog, edema, poofy face, all of that kind of thing goes along with estrogen dominance. So let's say your estradiol numbers are perfect, but your progesterone is coming in at a 0.5, at a 1, at a 2. Well, that's low compared to the estradiol. So let's use an estradiol example. Let's say your estradiol is coming in when you test it on day 19 to 22 of your cycle. It's coming in the 100s. Well, it's not that you need less estradiol or that we should be blocking it in any way, shape, or form, because estrogen has its own benefits, like, oh my God. But what you need is progesterone to come up and balance the estradiol. Using bioidentical progesterone as opposed to birth control is a much better choice if you have that choice. Now, again, as I always say, if you're in your 20s, don't want to be pregnant, you're on birth control, I get it. I get it. I wouldn't want you to roll that dice and throw a huge curveball in your life if it can be prevented. If there's any other way that you feel comfortable preventing pregnancy in your 20s, then do so to avoid the synthetic hormones from going into your body and the host of side effects that come with it. If not, okay, we'll give you a pass. But if you are in your 40s, late 30s, and you tell me that you are on birth control, I'm calling bullshit on you. And it's time to be an adult and be responsible and find another form of birth control. Because that's not worth, now that you're a responsible adult and you're not in college and going to frat parties, it's time to... And even if you're jumping around with partners, it's time to grow up and use a responsible method of birth control. You don't have to put harmful hormones in your body. Now, some doctors out there are in the know enough to know actually how much progesterone, real progesterone, bioidentical, to give a woman to act like birth control. But that's not really the topic of our discussion here. We want to go over just all the benefits. And this is more geared toward my ladies in perimenopause and menopause, because that's really when we see progesterone levels drop. And that is where this becomes so vital for supporting your body. Okay, so we said progestation. Progesterone is necessary for a fertilized egg to implant in the uterus. And then, as we said, it helps prevent miscarriage, especially during those first 12 weeks of pregnancy, before the placenta begins producing its own progesterone in sufficient quantities. So if the mother's progesterone level is too low, then the uterine lining can break down and that can cause a miscarriage. Now, there's many causes of miscarriage. Actually, thyroid dysfunction is the number one cause. Progesterone being low comes in at number two. And oftentimes we see those two together.
So if you're one of my ladies out there listening that you've had multiple miscarriages, my heart goes out to you, number one. Number two, we absolutely have to look at your thyroid function, your thyroid hormone values, and your progesterone level. So by the second trimester, the placenta takes over the production of progesterone to produce the very, very high levels required during pregnancy. Now, some women still will take a progesterone replacement through their pregnancy and then be able to come off of that after. But many women stay on progesterone if their bodies are not able to make enough, and just for that extra security, extra layer of support. Then by the third trimester, the placenta makes massive amounts of progesterone. In fact, around 300 milligrams compared to the average 25 milligrams made in ovulation. So babies are actually exposed to very high amounts of progesterone. That says a lot about the safety of progesterone, right? So very similar to these doctors running around saying, hormones cause cancer, to which we argue, show me a 16-year-old or 14-year-old that has breast cancer. Pretty much doesn't exist. So hormones do not cause cancer. Synthetic hormones cause cancer. Our creator gave us hormones. Hormones give us life. Hormones sustain our life. And as we look into the animal population, animals shrivel up and die as soon as they lose their hormones. We live in a westernized society with conventional sick medicine that can keep us alive through a variety of mechanisms and drugs to extend our life beyond our fertile years when our hormones start to decline. So we either enter into old age and break down and feel like absolute garbage, or we replace those hormones that are no longer being properly made to give our bodies the protection, the life, the sustenance that it needs so we can live our best life till the day that we pass by whatever means. But we don't have to be like animals and throw in the towel and say, well, can't produce babies anymore. Time to shrivel up and die. We don't have to do that. We have options. You have options, but you need to know the pros and the cons. Not too many cons. Spoiler alert, not too many cons. You have to know the pros and the cons in order to make an educated decision for yourself. So if our creator gives us hormones, and if the developing baby is exposed to massive amounts of progesterone, I think we can be safe in tipping our hats to the safety of progesterone. So actually, though, progesterone is a sex hormone. When we talk sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, but it does not produce secondary sex characteristics like estrogen. So estrogen will convey feminine properties. Think, you know, breasts and hips and a booty. And testosterone is the masculinizing properties, muscle tone, strength, just overall body comp development. So progesterone is also essential for fetal brain development. I talk about this all the time when I'm talking about thyroid as well. So when we're looking at even pre-pregnancy, I tell women over and over and over again, please get your thyroid optimized. Make sure that you are taking iodine. Make sure you are taking a very high quality prenatal vitamin and check your levels of progesterone, because it is not worth rushing a pregnancy to have a baby who is developmentally delayed. And I often, over and over again on this show, share about my experience, my current experience with my stepson, who is now almost 12, autistic, nonverbal, developmentally delayed across the board, and really will not be able to be on his own at any point in time. So, I mean, beautiful, beautiful kid, love him to death, but I feel for all of us involved, because he's never going to be out there thriving and being on his own. And that's heavy. And anyone listening to this we see autism on the rise right now. That's a whole other podcast. What toxins, misdiagnosed and undiagnosed thyroid issues. My heart goes out to you, because it's tough. It's a heavy burden. So if I can step in and give a warning or a piece of advice to any woman out there thinking of getting pregnant, wanting to get pregnant, trying to get pregnant, I don't care if it takes you another year, get your thyroid optimized first, because you don't want to give up 40, 50, 60 years of your life on the other side. You know, you want a child that you can let go in the world to be his or her own person and be on their own. So progesterone, again, is also essential for fetal brain development. There's an author of a really good book. It's called What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Breast Cancer, Dr. David Saba. And he indicates that progesterone deficiency during pregnancy is one of the leading causes of improper brain development and unborn children, leading to ADD, autism. So this may occur because progesterone is essential for the development of the regions of the brain necessary for shutting information or for shuttling information or for just processing information. There's another researcher, Dr. Catherine Dalton. She's been studying progesterone for over 30 years. And she often touts that women who use progesterone during pregnancy have babies with higher IQs. So that's really interesting as well. So not only can progesterone come in that beginning stage and protect the baby's brain, help sustain pregnancy, but it can also contribute to higher IQs. Now, progesterone will also help prepare the breast for lactation. So progesterone has that relationship with estrogen. And we are supposed to make 100 to 500 times more progesterone than estrogen. So by balancing estrogen, progesterone can help prevent heavy bleeding, reduce clotting, reduce heavy cycles, help with menstrual cycles in general, and then actually help extend cycles that are too close together. So if you're one of the women out there, or even one of my patients, we have you on bioidentical hormone replacement, you start having two cycles a month, which is common when you start shifting hormones around, we might need to increase your progesterone because that comes in to help regulate the menstrual cycle. And then progesterone also enhances the beneficial effects of estrogen. So if you're, whether you're taking estrogen or, again, back to what I said in the beginning, we're balancing the problems of excess estrogen or low progesterone, progesterone comes in and acts like a balancer. Progesterone is also necessary for the creation of estrogen receptor sites in the cells. So this is one of the reasons why we tell you to take a break from your progesterone, because there still is the factor, even if you don't have a uterus. Now, if you don't have a uterus, your doctor probably told you that you don't need progesterone. Another myth, another fallacy that we have to throw out. You need the progesterone, even if you have a uterus, because of all the other benefits that we're going to talk about today, including the one we already talked about, anti-proliferation, protection against breast cancer, all cancers. But we also need to take that break from progesterone so that estrogen can exist on its own for a few days out of the month, whether it's 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, however your practitioner is having you cycle or break from your progesterone, you need to take that break, because what ends up happening is if you take progesterone ongoing, then there's a blocking of the receptor sites of the cell. And progesterone is required in order to use estrogen, and then it increases the sensitivity of those estrogen receptors. And this is why so many women using progesterone can literally alleviate estrogen deficiency symptoms like hot flashes just by using progesterone. So we always tend to think about, oh, I'm getting a hot flash, it must be low estrogen. Might be. But if you're in that perimenopause state and we're looking at your estradiol, it's like, well, no, that's not low. And your FSH and LH are not indicative of you moving into menopause, but you're experiencing these hot flashes. Well, here's some progesterone. So that can actually help with hot flashes as well. There's one study that found that two-thirds of menopausal women actually still make adequate estrogen. You girls go. You go. But without progesterone, they might not even be able to use the estrogen they're producing. And I have seen this. I have absolutely seen this in my patient population, that we might be working with someone who is menopausal or even slightly postmenopausal, and we're testing and the estrogen looks beautiful. Like, you would think for sure that her estrogen would be low. She's postmenopausal, for God's sake. But the estrogen is just beautiful, but she still has those symptoms of low estrogen, the hot flashes, the vaginal dryness, the vaginal atrophy. So if she doesn't have enough progesterone on board, which probably tanked again back in her 30s or 40s and no one addressed it, then essentially she's going to be getting those same symptoms as estrogen deficiency. So basically the takeaway here is that you can use progesterone at any point of time to alleviate menopausal symptoms, to alleviate estrogen dominant symptoms. So it really comes in, as you can see, as the balancer, because it really doesn't matter whether estrogen is low or high, progesterone is coming to the rescue to create balance.
Okay, this is me literally just speaking to you from the heart. So many of you know I've been where you are with the struggle of weight gain, unexplained. Literally, you're doing everything you can and nothing is working. And I've been in the boat of crushing fatigue, like the type of fatigue you can't explain to anyone unless they've gone through it. The hair loss, legit, when you're counting the hairs that fall out of your head, I get that because I've been there. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. That's why it's my passion to help you specifically get to where you deserve to be, get to optimization land, which I always joke about being in. But it's not really a joke. It's a place. It's a place of existence in your life where you can enjoy life. You can go out with your friends. You can have a glass of wine. You're not gaining weight looking sideways at a brownie. You have energy to get through the day. You don't even think about being tired because you're not tired. You're just confident. You're confident in your own body. You're confident in your own skin. And beyond that, you're out of that frustrating cycle of doctor jumping, thinking that maybe this one will listen to me. Maybe this one will actually do what they're supposed to do. And then you're disappointed again and you're crying in your car like I was. So that is why it's literally been my mission. And I've been working on this for years and finally got here to help every single person in every single state and some of Canada. So we can now prescribe to all 50 states. And the reason why this is important is because if you have low thyroid function and you have low hormones, there is no supplement, there's no diet, there's no lifestyle change that you can do to build those hormones back up. And I flat out call BS on any program out there that promises you optimization without actually using bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, including thyroid hormone replacement. If you're not making hormones properly, you're not making hormones properly, and we have to replace that. Now, many of you are in the process of begging your doctor for bioidentical hormones that they're uneducated on. They tell you scary things that just, you know, don't believe them. And many of you are trying to beg your doctor to give you the right thyroid medication. Well, you can stop that now too, because we can order all the labs, prescribe all the bioidentical hormones, all the thyroid medication, all the things. We can do that to all 50 states and most of Canada. Now, when you work with me, when you work with my team, you are getting personalized plans, personalized treatment plans, personalized nutrition, the whole deal, top to bottom. You get what you need to get to the finish line, to enjoy your life, to live with me in optimization land, which is where you deserve to be. You deserve that. So click the link in the show notes, book a free call. We're going to go over everything with you. You don't have to remember everything I just said. The one thing you have to remember is I've been there. I can help you. I promise you're not that tough of a case. And it doesn't matter where you live in the United States and parts of Canada, we can help you. Now, I just said that we can go up in the progesterone until a woman's cycle balances, but we also have to be careful. We don't want to go too high in your progesterone. So if we give too much progesterone, then you can trigger low estrogen symptoms because it does work that well to reduce estrogen dominance.
So we want to find that perfect balance, that perfect balance. We've already said it's anti-proliferative. Estrogen is stimulatory, and that's fine. We don't want to avoid it. I don't want you to think of that in a bad way, but it does stimulate cells. It stimulates growth. And that's why estrogen comes in and helps with our skin and helps improve collagen and helps with protect against vaginal atrophy and helps with our hair and helps with our brain and our heart and our bone formation and protects our bones. I mean, estrogen has a huge laundry list of benefits, but it does spur on growth, which is why you always want to have progesterone in the mix. You never want to take estrogen by itself. So if you've ever gone to a run-of-the-mill hormone clinic and they handed you estrogen and did not also hand you progesterone, shame on them. It should never go unopposed, meaning you should never be taking estrogen without progesterone. Progesterone also comes in and helps the skin. Oh, this is what excited me. And this was actually something new that I learned in diving down the rabbit hole of all things progesterone. It helps prevent collagen breakdown by stimulating collagen synthesis and promotes normal actions of collagen and elastin. So one study examined the effects of progesterone cream applied to the skin of perimenopausal and postmenopausal women and found substantial reductions in both the number and the depth of wrinkles, along with very significant improvement in skin's firmness. So the data showed that a 29% reduction in wrinkle counts and wrinkle depth in the eye area, crow's feet, and 49% decrease in the nasolabial fold wrinkle depth, 23% increase in the skin firmness. So the conclusion was that progesterone is an effective anti-aging cream when applied topically and can help increase elasticity and firmness of the skin in perimenopausal and postmenopausal women. So that's just amazing. And if you stack that then with collagen, you stack that with estrogen, I mean, my goodness, you're really, you have a really nice arsenal to protect your skin. Now, of course, yeah, I get it. There's genetics, there's sun exposure. If you smoke, you're screwed. I mean, smoking literally kills the skin. So when you stack, just stack those three together and eat enough protein for God's sake, and you'll have great skin. Just don't go out in the sun and don't smoke. Okay, what else does progesterone do? Progesterone is protective against heart disease through a variety of different mechanisms. It increases the HDL level, which is your good cholesterol, and reduces triglycerides. It protects against atherosclerosis by blocking the expression of vascular cell adhesion molecules. And these are associated with adhesive formations and also by blocking smooth muscle proliferation. So that's something that can occur during inflammatory processes like coronary artery disease, any kind of cardiac issue. It can block cardiac fibroblast proliferation, which is a process which can result in scar formation and decrease cardiac function. We see this in hypertensive patients. If you're post myocardial infarction, we see that scarring. So progesterone can come in and help with that. It acts as a calcium channel blocker by improving vascular tone, dilating coronary arteries, increasing nitric oxide, which improves all functions of the body, improves circulation, provides more oxygen and nutrients to the heart and to all cells and tissues. And then again, progesterone enhances the beneficial effects of estrogen on the heart. So now we have these two hormones coming together, teaming up to protect the heart, as especially with the 17 beta estradiol coming in, inhibiting clot formation, both the progesterone and the estradiol improves the electrical conduction of the heart and blocks cell surface markers. So, I mean, man, progesterone, it just does all these things. It doesn't raise your blood pressure. It does not raise like C-reactive protein or any kind of inflammatory markers. And progesterone also it's a natural diuretic. It's actually a potassium sparing diuretic. Now, sometimes I'll hear from women and they'll say, oh, I'm retaining water ever since I started progesterone. And I'll say, well, that's impossible because it's a diuretic. However, side note, if you are not drinking enough water, if you are taking a synthetic progesterone instead of a real bioidentical progesterone, if your doctor happened to put you on way too much right out of the gate, like 400 milligrams to start, yeah, you definitely could be retaining some water. Progesterone taken in the proper amounts as you're taking care of your body, as you're moving, you are drinking enough water throughout the day, then it actually will act as a diuretic and help with that premenstrual water retention, as well as any kind of water retention. We can get water retention from estrogen dominance. It can help with any water retention, even as we move into perimenopause and menopause. Now let's move into our nervous system and the brain, because this is significant. The brain, spinal cord, peripheral nerves, they will actually synthesize small amounts of progesterone from pregnenolone. And this is why I always talk about pregnenolone, especially if you're a patient of mine, we test it. And it's important for me because I come from a family of Alzheimer's. Pregnenolone is very neural protective, protects the brain, but it also assists progesterone in protecting the brain and our nervous system. So the brain has the highest concentration of progesterone receptors anywhere in the body. That's why it's calming. That's why it helps with anxiety. It helps with sleep. This indicates, of course, that progesterone does play a role, in an essential role, in nerve health and function. Improves brain structure, function, and memory. So even as we are, let's say, addressing your thyroid, you're like, oh, I still got this brain fog, this memory thing. Well, we know that pregnenolone plays a role. Pregnenolone also helps with your adrenals. Estradiol plays a role. Neuroprotective, reduces the rates of Alzheimer's or your risk of Alzheimer's by a whopping 67%, which is huge. And now we have progesterone on board. So even as I learn more and more about progesterone, I'm taking progesterone, I'm taking estradiol, I'm taking testosterone, I keep my insulin levels under control, I'm taking pregnenolone, I'm doing all the things to essentially prevent my genes from expressing the APOE4 gene that I do have, as witnessed by my mother and her father both having and dying from Alzheimer's. So my goal is to stop that. And this is one thing that I can do. This is one thing I am doing. So it just makes me feel better that it's already on board. Progesterone plays a protective role, reducing inflammation and edema after brain injury. Now we're looking a little bit deeper into giving progesterone to men, especially post-combat or post any kind of TBI, traumatic brain injury. So this could be from playing sports, but we really correlate TBIs with soldiers, explosions, hits to the head, all the things. So progesterone can come in and literally protect their brain. Now, I always joke that you can rub a little bit of progesterone on the back of your husband's neck every night because, yeah, it's going to help with any kind of brain injury or TBI, any kind of neurological damage. It helps you preserve cognitive function. But here's the other thing. It increases stress tolerance and reduces irritability. So sometimes we want to throw that on our significant other as we're throwing it on ourselves. So here's the other benefit. Progesterone increases your stress tolerance. Wow. So all y'all out there that are like, I can't even handle stress anymore as I age. Everything sets me off. I'm anxious about nothing. Progesterone. You need progesterone. The first sign of low progesterone, this is a joke, but bear with me, it's kind of true too, are the women that come in and they say, you know, my husband or my kids keep saying to me, why are you so bitchy? What is wrong with you? Low progesterone. Progesterone modulates the GABA receptor. So that promotes a calm emotional state. The GABA receptors are the same receptors that are activated by Valium, mother's little helper back in the 50s. Morphine, not mother's little helper, and barbiturates. So this activation of GABA receptor is how progesterone is so calming and relaxing, helps with anxiety, that irritability, mood swings. And this is why so many of you have mood swings, because you're low on progesterone and you've been low on progesterone since your 20s. Now, this is transdermal progesterone, has been shown to promote normal sleep patterns and lower nighttime cortisol levels. That calming state and the sleep help is more associated with oral progesterone, but some of you can't tolerate oral progesterone. you have the opposite effect. You get more anxious. So that's when we will use transdermal progesterone. So just rest assured that you are also getting the benefits of sleep and lower cortisol levels. So if you do have that cortisol pattern that's a reverse curve where it spikes in the evening, that would be a great time to add in progesterone to calm everything down. Because as we know, if your cortisol levels are high at night, you're not going to be sleeping anyways. You're going to be all jacked up. So it helps to bring in some progesterone at night. Even if you don't have elevated cortisol levels, if you do, it's a must. If you don't, it's still going to help with sleep. Now, you can also use progesterone through the day if you are experiencing anxiety. So if I have a woman taking 200 milligrams of progesterone at night before bed and that's working, but she's still is anxious during the day, then we can place 100 milligrams during the day to help calm her down. It's not going to put her to sleep during the day, but it is going to act as a calming hormone to the brain like we've been talking about. Now, the other thing you can do is space out progesterone. So let's say you're taking 200 progesterone at night and you just have that hangover, that drowsiness effect the next day that you can't shake, then you could start spacing it out a little bit more. Maybe do 100 in the morning or mid-afternoon and then 100 at night. You know, fascinating research on some trials using progesterone in MS patients, and they're seeing some positive results. They're showing that progesterone promotes the formation of the myelin sheath in the brain, which that's where we see the lesions in multiple sclerosis. So again, progesterone to the rescue. And I'm hoping that even if some of these don't apply to you, you're really seeing the benefits of progesterone. And hopefully by the end of this podcast, you will come to the conclusion of why in the hell hasn't my doctor talked to me about progesterone? Why aren't I on it? I better go get some. Because really, every woman, in my opinion, over the age of 35 and definitely over the age of 40 should be on progesterone. Progesterone is also bone building. We always talk about estrogen as it relates to osteoporosis and protection of bone, but we need that progesterone in there too. And that's another reason why we don't just give estrogen, we give estrogen and progesterone together. So progesterone will build bone by stimulating the production of osteoblasts, those bone building cells. And one study showed back in the 90s, actually, that women using progesterone experienced an average of a 7 to 8% increase in bone mineral density in the first year of using it, which actually is significant because in the second year, they accumulated an additional 4 to 5% increase. Third year, 3 to 4% increase. So as they were using the progesterone, this is another reason why to start early, their bone protection and bone building cells actually built up. So by the time that they hit their, let's say, 60s, 70s, 80s, where we see those bone fractures occur due to osteoporosis, osteopenia, they had built up, they had bones basically of a 20-year-old. We talked earlier about anti-proliferation. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but I think this is important. How progesterone is a hormone that's just critical for the prevention of breast cancer. And this is why I really want you ladies to hear this, because breast cancer is on the rise and there are many things that we can do about it to prevent. There was a study done in 1981 by the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. The conclusion was that half of all breast cancers could be prevented by having a normal amount of progesterone. Now, bold statement, right? I will tell you that they would not be able to say that if they didn't have some data. Yeah, I know we had the Women's Health Initiative study saying a bunch of bullshit, but you can't just, I mean, they're using bioidentical progesterone here. They're not funded by big pharma trying to push, you know, the fake birth control progesterone. Half of all breast cancers could be prevented by normal amounts of progesterone. And then actually, since that time, there's been other studies that have also demonstrated progesterone having the ability to prevent breast cancer, protect the breast tissue, reduce breast cell proliferation over and over and over again. Very anti-carcinogenic. And then we move on to breast cancer patients that are often told that they shouldn't take hormones. Calling bullshit once again. Studies have shown that breast cancer patients who had adequate progesterone at the time of their surgery lived longer than those who didn't. And then other studies showed that progesterone has the ability to reduce breast cell proliferation by 400%. And then when used with estradiol, progesterone stopped the proliferative effect of estrogen in the tumor samples of women with breast cancer who were taking progesterone. Progesterone also helps with our immune system, natural killer cells. It helps us metabolize our estrogen into safer metabolites, and then it blocks the conversion of basically good estrogen to bad estrogen, which will have a proliferative effect on the breast. So this is where we want progesterone on board once again to protect our breasts and to increase our immune system and our natural killer cells, which also has a protective effect against all cancers. Okay, here's another couple random ones with progesterone. New to me. I love this. Progesterone stimulates injury healing process and connective tissue. So it encourages fibroblasts, which is also tied back to the anti-wrinkle effect of progesterone. Encourages fibroblasts, which is tissue building cells. It encourages their proliferation and thereby soft tissue growth. So some studies have shown that progesterone has an anti-inflammatory effect. There's anecdotal reports of progesterone helping with fibromyalgia, which is an autoimmune condition that affects the muscles. And then women on progesterone have demonstrated increased endurance during exercise. Woohoo! That's awesome as well. Progesterone, you know, we talk a lot about exercise. We talk about mitochondria being the powerhouses of the cell, powerhouses of energy production. So progesterone does affect the mitochondria. And guess what? It increases your metabolic rate. Now, I should have led with that fact, but I wanted to drop that in the middle so that you would hang out long enough to hear this. So only the people that are continuing listening, which is you, get this piece of golden nugget advice. Progesterone will help increase your metabolic rate. Progesterone is thermogenic, so it helps to burn calories for energy instead of storing them as fat. And speaking of fat storage, proper levels of progesterone are necessary for the regulation of insulin, the fat storage hormone. If you're in an estrogen dominant state, if you are in a low thyroid function state, you most likely have insulin resistance. You have too much insulin in your body. It's acting as a fat storage hormone. Progesterone to the rescue once again. So progesterone is not only going to lower your insulin, it's also going to curb your carbohydrate cravings. So this is where, again, we want that proper ratio of progesterone to estrogen. In some women, progesterone might help with libido, but again, libido is so multifactorial. It's not just tied to testosterone. It's not just tied to thyroid. It is tied to so many different variables and so many different hormones. So in regards to progesterone, it's important. Progesterone will help facilitate thyroid hormone utilization. So that's going to help with libido. And it can have a direct effect on libido by itself. To the thyroid, progesterone is very important in the conversion of T4 to T3. So we often say one of the biggest causes, well, there's so many causes. One of the biggest causes of elevated reverse T3 is low iodine. Another one is high insulin. Another one is estrogen dominance. But again, it comes back to, is it estrogen dominance in that you have too much estrogen? Or is it estrogen dominance in that you don't have enough progesterone? Which is it? Either way, progesterone to the rescue once again to help with that conversion of T4 to T3 and the reduction of reverse T3 into a more optimal state. Now, progesterone also opposes cortisol. So if you're in that chronically stressed state, elevated cortisol, progesterone comes in and it really comes in with an effort to block cortisol. Now, if you have low cortisol, it doesn't mean to stay away from progesterone. You need adequate progesterone to help synthesize cortisol, since progesterone is a precursor to cortisol along with pregnenolone. Acne is also often reduced by giving progesterone. In a younger population, I might use something like Vitex Chaseberry, which naturally raises the body's own levels of progesterone. But as we move into perimenopause and menopause, using progesterone can help with that adult acne. And finally, progesterone assists the thymus gland. So again, back to the immune system. You know, we're hearing a lot more about, even in the peptide world, thymusin alpha, TB500. The thymus gland is getting more and more attention as a longevity gland. There's epitalin, bioregulators, and peptides that also stimulate the thymus gland. So the thymus gland is huge when it comes to the immune system. So again, the immune system working optimally helps protect against cancers, the downregulation of our immune system, and the proliferation of cancer cells, cancer tumors, natural killer cells decreasing, inflammation, thus tying back to autoimmune conditions. So as progesterone comes in and really supports the thymus gland, we are seeing, again, that improved immune system, less autoimmune flares, lowering of autoimmune antibodies. We see that tie that I mentioned earlier to multiple sclerosis. Are you seeing how beautiful and amazing progesterone is yet? So really what we have to do in addressing progesterone with you is, number one, test. But progesterone is one of those hormones that we might not always get an accurate result on a lab. And there's many practitioners out there that argue, how do we test progesterone? So progesterone tends to overshow on saliva. So if you're working with someone that only uses saliva, run, because you're probably not going to get the hormones that you need. It overshows on saliva. If you're using something like urine metabolites, the Dutch test, it can show the roundabout, what do I want to say, kind of dial, but it's not going to give us a number. And then blood will give us a number. Now we move one step further and go, okay, what application or delivery method are we using? Are you using oral or are you using topical? Well, if you're using topical, that tends to not show up as well in serum, and oral shows up better. But I can tell you, after testing thousands of women, I can look at their labs that they took after being on oral progesterone, which supposedly shows up in blood beautifully, and they're still at a 2. They're still at a 3. But I asked them, well, how do you feel? How's your anxiety? How's your sleep? How's your mood? You know, maybe they're on already 200, 300 milligrams of progesterone. We can try to go up, but if that particular woman has side effects where she gets too groggy, too drowsy, then we're going to back it back down and we're going to go by how you feel. And the reverse is also true. We could be testing you. You come in at a 10 and 11 of progesterone. You're like, but I'm still so anxious. I'm not sleeping well at all. I just can't deal with stress. Then we might bump it up, or we'll give you a dose during the day. We can add in some topical. We can really create a plan with progesterone, because essentially there's no side effect. I mean, there's no negative to taking progesterone here, ladies, none. And men, because now we're giving it to men too. Again, the TBIs, the calmness, the ability to handle stress. Now men's doses are much lower, but we'll still give it to men. There's really no side effect in taking it. There's no downside in taking progesterone. There really isn't. So we can dose you and treat you more based on your symptoms than a set of labs. Yeah, it's always great to test. It's always great to confirm, but you're not always going to get a definitive number in your progesterone value just by testing blood or Dutch test or urinary metabolites. You're just not. You'll kind of see the roundabout number in a Dutch test. Again, on a dial. So you know, if you're adequately taking progesterone, you have adequate amounts. Yeah, that dial show halfway, you look beautiful, it'll be good. But always go by how you feel. Always be working with someone who is asking you, how do you feel? Because that, at the end of the day, with any hormone replacement treatment, is the key. How you feel is the key. And hopefully all y'all will run out and get some progesterone because it is just a beautiful, beautiful hormone. Ultimately, I want all your hormones balanced, all your hormones optimized. Yeah, I once heard that hormones are just like a family. They function together and they dysfunction together. So you want all the hormones playing and functioning well together. That's the ultimate goal. But if you have one hormone to run out and get, like in your 30s or early 40s, it's going to be progesterone, because that is the first hormone to go.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you loved it. And as always, if you would be so kind to leave a review, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, that would be absolutely amazing. I read all of them. Also, anything that you hear on this podcast is not intended to diagnose or treat any kind of medical condition. So we always recommend that you check with your medical provider, your doctor, your nurse practitioner before implementing anything that you hear on this podcast. And if you want to find out more about working together, You can click the link below in the show notes to book a discovery call. And there you'll be talking to a member of my team. They are an extension of me. They are amazing. And you and I will talk after that once we get you all signed up and you and I get to work together. All right. I hope to see you soon.